Strong rain battered the small window of my downstairs bedroom. Each drop hit the window like a tiny pounding fist. Deep thunder roared outside and rattled the old wooden frame of my bed. 15 and lanky, I pulled the covers up to my chin, squeezing my eyes tight against the lightning. I always had a fear of intense thunderstorms. Maybe you experienced one of those on the way down. But at that time, it felt like God was coming to make me pay for my sins. Would he spare me this time? Could I bargain with him? Did I still have time to change? The booming sounds and blinding flashes continued. And sometimes when I had this fear, I would get chills in my bed, and I just never felt like my blankets were thick enough. But I tried to count the time between when the lightning flashed and when you heard the thunder that was supposed to tell you how far the storm was away. I don't even know if that's a true fact. But it was almost instantaneous. And my heart continued to pound until the storm was finally a safe distance away. And then finally after that, I was able to let go of my fear and try to get some sleep. Now growing up, I had many other fears other than just thunderstorms. As a preteen, I was deathly afraid of dogs. When I was 11, my parents bought this wonderful golden retriever. It was one of the nicest dog breeds you can buy, right? Well, my fear didn't think so, and there's video evidence of this. My brothers and I were playing outside. The golden retriever was playfully heading in our direction. And my younger brother, Gordon, who was age 8 at the time, just happened to be next to me while this ferocious beast was approaching. And it was very obvious to me at that time that one of us was going to die. And as this golden retriever came within striking distance, I had to make a judgment call. And I did what any logical brother would do. As this golden retriever came next to me, I pushed Gordon into the path and I sprinted into the house for safety. You know, sacrifices have to be made in life, and unfortunately Gordon just had to be one of them. Well, as you probably guessed, Gordon lived to see another day with a golden retriever just playfully hopping over him. But at that time, when I was 11, I was deeply afraid of dogs. Fear is a universal human experience. It's something you've experienced as a baby, as a child, as a preteen, as a teen, as an adult in various ways. But what fears do you have? Do you have any fears about this weekend? Do you fear not fitting in? Do you fear not making new friends? Do you fear rejection by the opposite sex? Or does the fear of dancing make your heart race? Well, what about if you graduate this year? Do you fear college? Do you fear going to trade school? Or if you just plan to go into the workforce, do you fear that your friends will leave you behind as they go into the next chapter? Or maybe you just have fear of the unknown. Things are going to change. It might be different. I saw a funny meme a few weeks ago. It said, "We ask 18-year-olds to make huge decisions about their career and financial future when just a month ago they had to raise their hand to ask to go to the bathroom." But we all experience fear in various forms. But luckily, we don't have to face this fear by ourselves. I'd like to start the split sermon going over to Psalm 34. As you turn there, I'd like you to really hone in on your own personal self. Think about maybe a fear that you have. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 34. I'm going to read just a single verse over here, verse 4. Psalm chapter 34, verse 4. And it states, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." If you think about this psalm, it was written by David. He'd experienced a lot of fear in his life. David spent years fleeing from Saul, hiding in caves, living as a fugitive. David pretended to be insane in 1 Samuel 21, saying he was very much afraid of the king of Gath. David faced numerous enemies, Philistines, Amalekites, and even traitors in his own ranks. But he still wrote the following: I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Do you want to be delivered from your fears? Or do the fears keep you up at night? We all need courage to face our fears. And thankfully, the Bible gives us tactics to deal with this fear. So in this split sermon, I'd like to explore three tactics to deal with fear. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 over there. I'm going to pick up our first tactic to deal with fear over here. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. And it states, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The Amplified Bible adds some clarity to verse 7. It states, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him." And I'll end it there from the Amplified Bible. But everything that we care about should be brought to God when we have anxiety. All the anxieties, any irrational worries, and the entirety of our never-ending concerns can be cast upon him. So what's the first tactic to deal with your fear? Point one is cast all your anxieties upon God. Cast all your anxieties upon God. We don't have to hold the bag of worries that we always have in our brain. You know, if you like an analogy, you can think about taking your worries as clothes. Maybe you stuff them into a bag. And just think about just tossing them out the window like you do when you go to Goodwill. Just stuff them in that bag, toss them out the window. You want to cast your anxieties to God. When I was preparing this message, I started thinking about how the experience of COVID might have affected many of those in here during your formative years. When I was a sophomore in high school, 9/11 happened. And if you weren't alive during that time, on September 11, 2001, four commercial airliners were hijacked within a couple hours. There were two planes that were flown into the North and South Towers of the World Trade Center in New York at that time. But the third one hit the Pentagon, the fourth crashed in the field outside of Pennsylvania. And if you were alive during that time, most of you probably remember where you were when you heard about the news. To me, I just arrived in Mrs. Harmon's geometry class. And when I got the news, we basically went in and she was up there. We all got seated and she just gave a somber look on her face as she told each and every one of us what had happened. And she basically, Mrs. Harmon said, "I'm not gonna be teaching today. We're just gonna watch the news." And that was what she said, and she sat down. And they had in the corner of that room, they had a TV. It was like almost like a tube TV, but it was hanging from the room. And we just sat there and watched the TV for the rest of class. And if you were, again, alive during that time, you probably remember where you were at. But during that time, there was a lot of fear that was circulating throughout the country of potential terror attacks following the months and years. There was speculation of weapons of mass destruction. There was growing dread in the country that terrorists were going to use biological, chemical, or nuclear weapons. Letters laced with anthrax emerged just a few months later. And the government ramped up security, eroding civil liberties through surveillance. And there were fears, even on top of that there might be a lingering police state that stays around. And if you recall, "Never Forget" emerged as a powerful slogan after 9/11. But that event brought much fear, anxiety, and uncertainty to our country. And it did for me as a teen. I tried to find some data with AI, as I was curious at how much fear-based conditions have sort of increased since COVID. I was thinking about the teens in particular in here, and I thought some of these were interesting. So some of these stats are drawn from the National Institute of Mental Health, Kaiser Family Foundation, and the Centers for Disease Control. So exact figures are sort of differ depending on obviously your sample size, how long the survey was, the data collection methodology and such. But globally, anxiety symptoms among youth nearly doubled the first year after COVID-19, with 1 in 5 teens reporting clinically elevated levels of anxiety per a 2021 meta-analysis. And if you don't know what a meta-analysis is, it's basically a study of multiple studies, so it's really the most sound kind of data that you can reference. So again, that's 1 in 5 teens globally. Then I was sort of curious, all right, well, what does that look like in the U.S., and then what does that look like by gender? So here's what I was able to find. So approximately in the U.S., 31.9% of adolescents between 13 and 18 experience an anxiety disorder at some point, according to the National Institute of Mental Health in their latest data. So they experience it at some point while they're a teen. So again, that was almost 32%. And then according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, an analysis that they ran from 2021 to 2022, they suggested that 21% of teens aged 12 to 17 had a symptom of anxiety in the last couple of weeks. And if you really think about that, that's almost, you know, a pretty significant portion of the population that it would hurt for teens. And then looking at it from a gender perspective, female teens are twice as likely as men or male teens to report anxiety symptoms, 31% for men compared to 21%, 31% for females compared to 31 to 12 for girls and boys, if I can get it out right. But with all the fear-mongering among COVID, it's understandable that some of you have related fear and anxiety that still lingers, maybe. But luckily, in God's church, we can cast all of these anxieties upon God. I'd like to turn to the next scripture over in Philippians 4, if you would. Better go over to Philippians 4. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, starting verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want to feel relief from your fears? You can be given the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Will you choose to cast all of your anxieties upon God? Or are you going to get caught up in the shadow of your own doubt? Let's pivot now to the second tactic to deal with fear. Let's flip over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I'm going to read verse 10 over here. Here we're going to read about some encouragement that God gave to Israel. So Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and it states, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with the righteous right hand." So what's the second tactic to deal with fear? Point two, remember God's presence. Remember God's presence. When you're feeling powerless, displaced, or you're just questioning everything, we need to remember that we aren't alone. We have access to the unshakable force that maintains order and dominion over the universe. Our God is in fact near us. We don't have to face the frightful and fearful things in the world alone like many in the world do. You know, if you think about a small child and they have a nightmare, what do they do? What is their built-in coping mechanism for most children? I'm not saying every single child, but a lot of children. The scared child usually goes to the parent in the middle of the night to seek comfort. If you ever really stop and consider why, it's because the child instinctively knows that the parent's presence will provide peace. And God is no different. If you want relief from fear, you have to remember God's presence in our lives. I'd like to turn next back to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. Read verse 9 back there. Some of these preceding verses, God promotes Joshua from being Moses' assistant, as he's called in verse 1, to taking his place. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Read verse 9 over here. But even in the midst of the transfer of leadership, Joshua probably felt fear like any of us when you take a new job, when you're trying something new, or just doing something different. But notice God's words to Joshua in here in chapter 1, verse 9. And it states, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God committed to be with Joshua. And God can also be with us. We just need to remember his presence. Let's notice one other scripture that supports this tactic over in Isaiah 43. Back in the Bible a little bit, Isaiah 43. But it states, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, for I have called you by your name, you are mine." So just as God called Israel to be a special chosen people, he has chosen those in this crowd to be called out from the world. Will you choose to remember God's presence when you feel fear? Or will you let the fear continue to consume you? Before we explore our third tactic related to fear, I thought I'd share maybe a couple funny but true analogies about fear. Fear is like a boyfriend who texts, "We need to talk," and then he ghosts you. And if you can't relate to that one, maybe you like this one. Fear is a post on TikTok you overthink for an hour, only to finally post and you get 3 likes and a comment that says "slay" from your cousin. Fear is often a perceived danger, a threat, to deal with the uncertainty. But it's just not real. And luckily, the Bible continues to give us other tactics to deal with this fear. Let's notice Isaiah 41. This is maybe just a page or two back. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, sort of part of a group of chapters in Isaiah dedicated to providing comfort for Israel. Let's notice Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it states, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So what's the third tactic to deal with fear? Point 3, seek God's strength when fearful. Seek God's strength when fearful. When we are fearful, we feel vulnerable, and we ultimately seek a source of power, someone of strength. And no matter what your age, you can feel discouraged or disempowered. But we don't have to feel that way. Let's notice another scripture just across the page, maybe for you. It's Isaiah 40, verse 29. For me, it's just right across the page, but I might have to flip over one. So Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 29. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail." If you're a teen in the audience, notice verse 31 here. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When I was a sophomore in high school, I ran long distance track. And one of the events I competed in was the 1600 meters. Now the 1600 meters was sort of brutal in its own right because you had to go around the track 4 different times, so around the 800 also at the time. But the 400, you had to run four laps again around the track. So normally, you know, first lap, you got the adrenaline high, you're feeling pretty good. I could keep up decently. I was never, you know, first or second, but I was in competitive the first lap. The second lap, I'd feel a little bit more tired, but I was still staying competitive near the front. And I used to imagine I was this powerful horse, and I would give this little low grunt every so many steps. Just like, and I don't know why, I felt like at the time it made my T levels go up or something. It was just something crazy I'd made up as a teen. But it was always the lap 3 that really got to me. It was what separated the men from the boys, and it turned out I was always just a boy. You see, unfortunately, I had an Achilles heel because most days after I trained, I went to my grandma's house after school. And she always had the absolute best snacks. They had the four cheese pizza Hot Pockets. She had the sour cream and onion Pringles. She had the Cheez-Its. I get that cup of milk with the 2%. You drop in an Oreo and it'd float for a second. You'd have to dig it out, or, you know, grab it out before it hits the bottom. But the real nemesis of my long-distance running was the carbonation. And if I drank a Mountain Dew or a Coke the day before a race, I was cooked by lap three. I was the weary and faint youth mentioned here in verse 30. But if we wait on the Lord, he shall renew our strength. We can run that third lap on the track and not be weary. God can and will strengthen you in your fear. We can walk and not faint. Let's notice a psalm over at Psalm 46. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. And it states, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice here God's availability. He isn't just present. He is called a very present help for those who need him. Let's continue here in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And if you think about it, this section of Scripture, we have a hymn called God is Our Refuge, right? Remember the first verse? I'm not going to sing it, but God is our refuge and our strength. In straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. It has both elements of our third point. But fear can be minimized by focusing on God's strength. So what's our third tactic today? Seek God's strength when fearful. Fear can affect all ages, and often these fears can be irrational. I'll share one final story. My youngest daughter, Macy, she'll be 1 year old next week. And my wife recently purchased this Junior Minnie Mouse bubble machine. It's like this, it's a really small thing. Basically, it has a little motor that goes around. It has eight different wands that go into the bubble solution. And it's a bubble machine, as you'd expect. It's really small, really quiet. It turns. I was outside with her a couple weeks ago. It was wonderful weather. I had my phone on. You know, I was jamming. And I saw this bubble machine. I was like, oh, man, I'm about to get the party started with my daughter. She was underneath the deck. I was pushing her outside. But as I turned the soft motor of the bubble machine on, Macy immediately, my one-year-old, started acting on edge. She was just watching this machine so intently. And it became quickly apparent that she was really afraid of this hideous, evil bubble machine. And before long, she started screaming full blast, and I had to turn it off, and I had to go inside. So if any of you are wondering, yes, my offspring are afraid of bubble machines. Well, no matter what your age, you can feel crippled or discouraged by fear. Today we've explored fear and three tactics to deal with it from the Bible. Cast all your anxieties upon God. Remember God's presence. And seek God's strength when fearful. We all have different fears. Some are thunderstorms. Some fear the dance floor. And some may even still fear golden retrievers in this room like I once did. But God can give us comfort and relief. And if you feel fear, please remember what we read in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears.